Midway Sports Pub. I mean, if you want to go with the pub, this is our first mock draft. Phil Tucker, Elijah Jacobs, myself, Kenny Mann. And I don't know how much work you guys put into it. I did the best I could. And before we'll get into it and all, but I will say, this was the first time I did not look at other... Now, I've seen other mock drafts in the past, but today, I didn't go by anybody. I went down the line, need, and then what I thought. So I could be so far away from what you guys have, we'll see. But yeah. I didn't look at anybody's other than probably the first one or two that we all know. All right. Phil Tucker's here. It's leadoff double time. Why don't we do that?
All right. So I tell you what, success has its rewards, especially if you're a member of the Chiefs' key staff. So after the last Super Bowl win, head coach Andy Reid, GM Brett Veach, and President Mark Donovan all got contract extensions this week, so they're going to keep the band together a little longer there.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? I was a little bit surprised because part of me thought Andy Reid might just retire.
No. I mean, I thought all this retirement talk was bunk.
Well, I wasn't aware of the talks. Part of me was thinking he might just look at it like, what else do I have to accomplish?
What can he surpass now?
You're
him
correct.
And, him
You're
and Mahomes correct. Could end up rival, giving a bit of a dent into the history of Brady Belichick.
They could.
What do they have now? Three?
Yeah. Three. In Brady, 5 years.
Brady Belichick was six, right? Because Tom went and got the seventh on his own. Yeah, I mean, is it? That's not out of the question with Mahomes to get three more.
I'll say this. Personally, I think they've already made a major dent in it because of the fact that of what you've seen, what's happened to Belichick. I mean, I think they made a dent in that legacy because a lot of people are saying it was mostly Brady and not Belichick. Now we're looking at this going
but
like...
How many Super Bowls did Andy Reid win before Mahomes?
Win?
Zero.
He got
That's
to.
Right.
Well, he got to a couple.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying he was very good. He never had
I think the media gets too involved with the, who's the greatest? Is it the coach? Is it the player? I think, without Belichick, Brady isn't going to win six. I'm sorry. He's just not. And I think, obviously, without Brady, Belichick's not going to win six. I don't know where the ratio would lie, but... Without Reed, I don't think Mahomes is going to win three the way he has. So I think it's
just a matter of the perfect marriage.
Yes.
I agree with that. But what I look at is this, though. In the entire my lifetime watching Andy Reid, he has never had a quarterback, no matter who it is, play bad.
Mm-hmm.
They've always played good.
But Belichick, very close to that. Remember the year Brady got injured? Who did he throw in there? They went 11-5.
Matt Castle.
I mean, you got to give him some credit.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree
okay,
with everybody
that
it's
that's
Brady.
Fair.
I get it, but
yeah,
I think it doesn't age well that Brady goes to a team and wins a Super Bowl right away and almost beats the Super Bowl champs the year after. I mean,
yeah. I guess, I'm not a Belichick fan. I don't know. Maybe I'm just tired of hearing how he stinks. I mean, that's just crazy talk.
I will never go that far.
I mean,
he may
be beyond his capabilities in this new NFL. I grant you that. But to say Belichick's a terrible coach, I hear that. I'm going, what are you people out of your mind?
I would say the time for his style has passed.
I agree.
But, like you said, I don't think without Belichick, Brady wins all those titles.
I agree with you.
Without Belichick, without Brady, Belichick doesn't either. It's the perfect situation for both of them because you had someone with the work ethic of Brady at a position that is not necessarily a strong suit for coaching for Belichick. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks he had before Brady. He had guys that had skill. I mean, Drew Bledsoe was one of the top prospects when he came out.
He was a great quarterback for them up until.
And he couldn't succeed with Belichick.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason that was, I don't know why that was, but.
But understand, Belichick had to switch gears on a dime when Bledsoe got hurt in that game against Jets. And he took a rookie, basically, and molded him into a winning quarterback. Not only that year, but, those early years, I'll say this. The early years, I lean Belichick.
I completely agree with
his guidance and his way of handling a young Tom Brady obviously made a difference. And then as we turned, I think Brady took over.
I think that personality
and that winning culture, that started to come from Tom.
Well, I think when it started to fall off track was that Super Bowl where Belichick for some reason benched Malcolm Butler and it made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of when there were just disgruntlement within that team. And you saw it was around 2 years, that union after that moment?
Yeah. The whole Belichick's not good. Well, stuff is silly.
I think it's
kind of kooky to say that to a guy that's got six. I don't care who you were with. You have six. Kind of saying, well, Bill Walsh isn't great because he was lucky enough to have Joe Montana and then
Steve Young.
Okay, but Joe Montana and Steve Young might not have been that great without a genius of a mind. Well,
Steve Young wasn't that great when he was with the Buccaneers.
That's right.
I think the best comparison is saying, well, Phil Jackson wasn't a great coach, even though he's got 11 championships because he had Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Yeah, but those guys didn't win before he got there.
Correct. Although he went to the Knicks and it didn't work.
Well,
he was general manager, though. He wasn't
nothing
coach.
Works with the Knicks. Although.
Well,
all right, go ahead. What do we got?
So the other one. We'll throw in two award stories since there was one that broke today. But so Caitlin Clark continues to add hardware to her trophy case. She became the first person to ever win the James E. Sullivan Award twice. The Sullivan Award is presented by the AAU, and they award it to the most outstanding player in the nation in any sport, collegiate or Olympic level. So any non-professional sport, voting is awarded, done by the public. The Sullivan Award Committee, the AAU Board of Directors, past winners, and sports media. I mean, that's an impressive win when you're talking about an award that's not just specific to women's basketball. It's not specific to basketball in general. It's all collegiate and Olympic sports.
It's deserving. I mean, that's the least of what she accomplished this week. She got $28 million from Nike. How about that?
Yeah, so she's not worried about that salary from the WNBA.
So last week I was saying, Caitlin, step back. Maybe go back and let ESPN write you a check. But you know what? Nike, $28 million.
Yeah. And she doesn't get that deal in college because if it was an Adidas school or a Reebok school, that's right. You're not signing that contract.
Yeah. And this is the first time I can say in my lifetime, well, that's bizarre, but it's true, that a female athlete is absolutely going to sell shoes. I kid you not. I've never in my lifetime had a female athlete endorse a product to where I can see there are going to be young ladies out there buying the Caitlin Clark version of these shoes. That's absolute.
The only one I could think of off the top of my head would have been in her prime was Ronda Rousey.
There was a lot of 1,000%. No. Little girls did not grow up wanting to be Ronda Rousey. Growing up now, they want to be Caitlin Clark. It's unbelievable.
But there was a period of time where she was one of the highest paid people in her sport.
Beating people up.
True, but I mean, people bought. I'm just saying, people bought products that she endorsed. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand where you're going with it, and I don't disagree that she
had
some impact in what's really still a niche area.
Yeah,
true.
Whereas, I can't think of. I mean, maybe at the peak of the women's U.S. soccer.
Yeah, that's
that
a good
early
one.
Run when they all had all the accessories.
Brandi Chastain. Yes, agreed.
I could see maybe some of them.
Yes, agreed. Hope Solo.
But at that point, soccer is still, if you're proud to support your team, you're still supporting Team USA because they had great success. But outside of that, after a few years, you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember the name Mia Hamm.
Yeah.
Whereas this is something the impact is.
It was amazing.
Immediate and
it
huge.
Is.
It was amazing.
It absolutely is, yes.
Good for her.
And then the other award thing is it broke it today. Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back.
Right.
I think right decision by the Heisman Society.
Yes, it was.
I mean,
so what did he do? I didn't get to read too much about it. He took a loan and didn't pay it back. Now, that's the only part of this I'm not thrilled with. But
well, and it wasn't even that the school paid him.
Okay.
It was basically something that today probably would have fallen under the name and image and likeness.
Of course.
So to me, it'd be interesting to see if this leads to other people who have had awards taken away or some of these records that have been negated because of, you know.
The only thing about it that
But the NCAA doesn't like to make these decisions.
No,
the Heisman Committee is its own
thing. The only thing that I don't like about it, he's the Heisman winner. Of course he was the Heisman winner. Whether he got the trophy or not, to me, it didn't matter. He was the best player. He's one of the best players I've ever seen in college. But
that didn't translate.
I can't help equate this to, and someone brought this up, and they made a great point. You know, Phil, you go into a store and you are you're a business owner and you're working with, you know, some sheetrock company, and you you go, okay, I'm getting my sheetrock for, you know, $5 a sheet. I don't know how much they are. And then you find out that now they're $2 a sheet. And you go, well, 5 years ago I paid you $5 a sheet. I want to go back and get that now. Yeah, but that's not what the rules were then, kind of feeling. Yeah. So I, as much as I agree he deserves the award, it's just I don't like the idea of going back and saying, let's make believe that NIL existed in 80, whatever. It just didn't. And I don't know, I have a hard time with that. Because it is a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. What about college coaches that were involved in scandals that they paid players and whatnot? Do we go back and go, you know, now you can, so all's well and good. Here's your ACC championship. I don't know. I just don't know where it goes.
Yeah. Well, I think that the biggest thing is, you know, you do have a very clear line in some of these instances where, for example, the scandal that basically ended Jim Tressel's career at Ohio State as the coach.
Mm-hmm.
The players were given tattoos by a local tattoo shop.
Yes, yes.
You know, all this stuff that...
In exchange for autographs, maybe, or something?
Right, and autographs. And, you know, so basically they were paid for those kinds of things.
Correct.
The school had nothing to do with
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. The coaching staff had nothing to do with it.
Right.
But at the time, it's considered an impermissible benefit.
Yeah.
What got the school in trouble is not that that these guys did it, but that they allowed them to play after that.
Right.
To me, that's where it's, okay, wait a minute. That is something that very clearly the school did not pay them. It's legal now.
Right.
It should have been legal then.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm sorry, I agree that Reggie should have his Heisman, because I think this is one of those very odd situations.
It shouldn't have been taken away in the first place.
Where it's one thing didn't really affect the other thing, meaning he played on the field well enough to earn the award. Now, the other way of saying it is, well, what if he would have been suspended 2 games or something? Then you get into a dark area. Do you go back and go, well, he should have gained yardage, you know, those 2 games, but he didn't get to. But this is clear cut. You know, he was the best player. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
He deserves the award. I just hope it doesn't open a can of worms where we start going, what about this guy and, you know, this guy? And then you start saying, all right, I get it, but we do have to understand and respect that there were certain rules in place then. And even though they may be antiquated now, but they were.
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying, well, a guy that was maybe thrown out of a league for betting on something. Well, now they're allowed to bet, not on their own sport, but they're allowed to bet in certain areas. So do you go back and say, well, you know, Joe Smith, who bet on a game, it was a basketball game, he's a football player, do we reinstate him now? I just don't know where we go.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this whole ordeal of them. I feel like it's PR at this point, because so many people were upset with the Reggie Bush getting his Heisman taken away. I feel like this is a big PR thing on the part of the NCAA to just kind of gain good publicity. That's really how I feel about it.
They can't.
Well, because the thing is, it's not the NCAA though. Because
it's the Heisman Foundation.
The Heisman Foundation.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like it's part of them to get a
I'll
good
tell you
PR.
What. The Heisman to me, commercials could have a lot of fun with this. You know, those Heisman commercials. Yeah. They could really have some fun now.
I bet they will.
Reggie, we found your trophy.
And if they don't have fun with it, they're missing the boat.
Yeah, Reggie, we found your trophy.
The thing is, to me, where I kind of draw the line is more the individual accolades. Yeah. You know, the individual trophies like the Heisman Trophy, the Biletnikoff. Things like that, to me, if you were a player, you were allowed to play. You
earned that.
You earned absolutely that award.
Exactly.
Regardless of what was going on at the time.
You're right. I don't want to take away anybody's idea. Someone had an idea, and I listened today, and it was a really interesting thought. What would have happened if, now it didn't, it's not the way it worked, if Vince Young was second in the Heisman that year? What if they went and said, because it was unprecedented, well, Reggie didn't get it, it's going to Vince Young. What would they have done now? Like, would you remove it, or would you say there were two Heisman? It's a very interesting thought. But
Vince, we need to discuss the Heisman Award.
Knowing Vince, he might have sold it.
You know what the most incredible thing you're saying about this is? When you just told me the two Heisman candidates.
Yeah.
Neither one of those guys did anything on professional.
Well, Bush was good, and Vince Young won Rookie of the Year. Don't forget, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I mean, they started out good, but as their careers
what would have happened in an odd situation like that had they went and said, we're going to award it to the second place finisher? Now, in the Olympics, they do that.
Yeah.
You know, so if a Olympic sprinter tests, say, positive for steroids and they ban him, they give it to the second place guy.
Yeah. Now, they get that gold medal.
This is different because it's an award rather than a finishing. So
I'm actually in favor of that. More so that than actually
taking. But he
really
didn't get the Heisman when you think about it. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't voted the Heisman winner, Vince Young.
No.
He wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, to me, an award like that, if you disqualify the original winner.
Then it's fake.
It's gone.
Yeah,
it's
I
gone.
Agree.
It's,
I agree. That's a good point.
Because the people voted for it. You know, the writers voted for that. That's what it, you know, who won it.
Yes.
Real quick, we can kind of touch on the NHL playoffs.
All right,
where
before
we stand
that, though, I always love to give you guys something, and I saw it. Holy cow, I got to find it really quick. It was just an amazing, amazing, amazing stat once again by, where is he? Here it is. Just a fun fact, and I saw it today, and it resonated because we mentioned this. Ichiro, you remember?
Suzuki? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. He got his third major league hit in his 10th at bat, okay, thus giving him a 300 average. He never, ever went below 300 from that point forward.
Wow.
Is that the most ridiculous thing you have ever heard?
I read this,
and I'm saying, this can't be, and it is absolutely true. 10 at bats, he got to 300, never again did that average go below 300 in his career.
That is incredible.
Did you see this past week? Maybe I think it was over the weekend. Otani hit a home run to break his tie with
Hideki Matsui.
Yeah.
Wow.
For the most home runs by a Japanese-born hitter.
Holy How quick was that? Man. Right?
I mean, it doesn't seem like feel like he's been in the league
feels
that
like
long.
He just got here. And boom, he's breaking records.
He's a specimen. I mean,
so I just thought that was very interesting. All right. All right. So tonight's Triple Play Sports Pub is going to obviously be dominated by the NFL draft, which is tomorrow evening, and the mock drafts that we've done. But before that, NBA and NHL playoffs, as we mentioned last week, they've taken hold, and here we go. NBA, Nuggets up 2-0.
Yeah.
No surprise
not
to
surprise.
Me here.
Well, fun fact, I got to tell you this. Do you know that the Lakers have lost 10 straight
to the Nuggets?
To the Nuggets.
Yeah.
In the NBA right now, there's only 5 active 10-game winning streaks
against other teams.
And you know what the other 5 have in common? All those teams All those teams that they've beat are bottom feeders.
Yeah.
This is the only time
a good team against a good team
against a good team where that team just owns
them.
They
have their number.
for whatever reason. Yeah. They don't have an answer for Joker, obviously. Jamal Murray also.
Well, I'll say this. Anthony Davis had him on lockdown for the first half, and then all of a sudden...
That's the thing. You can only keep that guy down so long.
I think that was the most demoralizing loss the other night, because the Lakers dominated that game, and to lose like that was like, wow.
Minnesota 2-0 over Phoenix.
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked.
I thought Minnesota was, you know.
To me, Phoenix, the last half of the season, really.
But they've owned the Timberwolves head-to-head. That's why I'm just kind of shocked that. I think I'm more shocked with the lack of effort it looks like Phoenix puts when they're out there. They almost look like they don't care. Like, they're just walking through this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Lakers, I mean, they're giving it all they got. Whereas this is like. Wow, y'all look like you just don't even want to be out there. You look kind of light. I mean, Kevin Durant, 18
How old
points?
Is Durant now, by the way? You know, I didn't really. Yeah,
I feel
know,
like
I
he's 40 because he's been around for such a long time.
When I start to think about it in his career, and you don't realize just how long he has been doing this. It started with OKC and him and, come on, help me.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
And James Harden.
And James Harden, that's right. That seems like centuries ago. So, are we expecting too much of Durant at this point?
No, we're not.
We're not?
I mean,
do you know many 35-year-old?
Yeah, LeBron.
He might be a little bit of the outlier.
I mean, Jordan was dominant at 35.
A big man, though. Really big guy like this.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Was he 35?
Yes.
Was he?
I think he was in
I
his
mid... I think he was 40 when he retired.
Oh, was he?
And he was in his mid-30s when he had his run.
He seemed like he had the success later.
Yeah.
You know, not that he wasn't a great player. He was a great player, but he finally had the success later on.
I mean, to me, Dirk Nowitzki is his comparison because they're the same player.
Cleveland 2-0 over Orlando. That's a 5-4 seed. I mean, you know, that could go either way. That might be 2-2 next week when we get back. How about the Knicks? Over the Sixers.
I'm in shock.
What a game the other night. Now, granted, I agree. There were fouls at the end that were not called. I watched it live. I could not believe. That was one of the most exciting moments I think that had happened at the Garden in 20 years.
I agree.
It was absolutely unbelievable. They hit a couple of threes. They're down 104-99. I go, ugh, it's over. Then he hits the Brunson hits the three. And then, I forget who now, D'Antoni. Hits the three to take the lead. I couldn't believe it. Place erupted. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Good for the Knicks. I told you I like the Knicks going forward. No, I don't think they're going to do much after that because they're going to be matched up. Actually, I do think they'll do something. But once they get, if they are lucky enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, probably be Boston. That'll be tough for them. Yeah. But how about that? 2-0.
I'm in shock by that one. I thought Philadelphia... I thought they'd win this series. I honestly did. And they still might.
And they still might.
They still might,
they still
but
might.
I mean.
Take Philly by 40, though, in the next game. Trust me. They are angry at what happened. They're angry.
Joel Embiid plays big angry. You're going to have the Joel Embiid count of how many times I say his name.
Milwaukee, Indiana 1-1.
I'm kind of shocked by that one, actually.
Boston up 1-0 on Miami. We mentioned they're going to be playing tonight. That
are you
may
shocked
be
that
a...
Bucks have won a game?
Yeah.
Or...
yeah
I'm actually surprised myself without Giannis.
But Damian Lillard has had. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. I think he split, which is a good spot. Giannis comes back. I think that means they could potentially win this Pacers series.
Dallas, we mentioned, wins last night. Great game by Luka. Mm-hmm. They beat the Clippers.
Luka's
in L.A.? Nice.
Luka's playing some good defense.
He really is. They played very good defense. So, again, early, but exciting so
far. Any series you think is pretty much a wrap? Right now, based off what you said,
Boston, just because of the injuries, and I know Boston.
I would say
Denver's
a wrap,
and Denver, you're right.
That's a wrap.
Those two series seem like.
I think the Lakers can win a game or two, but I don't believe they're winning four. It'd be hard pressed for me to believe a team that lost 10 in a row to a team is going to win four out of the next.
Five. And I think that loss was about as I mean, I literally thought the Lakers had that game in the bag when they were up by 20 points. And for them to lose that one, I was almost like, oh, it's done.
Okay. NHL, as we are here at the Triple Play Sports Pub, we're watching Boston-Toronto. They're 0-0 in the first.
So before you start that, I just got to tell you, there is one NHL player who I have a bone to pick with.
Go ahead. Who's that?
It's... Sergei Bobrovsky, I have a massive...
Bobo, why?
You know why I don't like Bobo?
Why?
Because Bobo is responsible for three...
He's got a great name.
He is responsible for three traumatic things happening to me.
What's that?
First of all, he let the Vegas Golden Knights win a Stanley Cup, which in itself was a traumatizing experience for me. Second, he knocked out the team I picked to win the Stanley Cup next year by being a demigod for one playoff series and then proceeds to get lit up by Vegas. And third, he prevented my team from having a three-peat by knocking out my Tampa Bay Lightning. So I really have a bone to pick with this guy because he's only good against the teams I like. He then turns around. Watch him be the guy who has to play Edmonton and then lets 9 goals from Connor McDavid happen. That's just, that's who he is. It's like, it's almost like he's here to irritate me.
He's a good player. He's not only against my. He's a great player.
He's only good against my team.
He's in line for the Vezina this year.
But he's only good against my team.
Well, you have 97 teams. Okay. Vegas up 1-0. You mentioned that over Dallas. Winnipeg and Colorado 1-1. Colorado, boy, it got iffy. They came back. They got the game. They needed to get that win. They did. McCarr, by the way, was tremendous. Edmonton up 1-0, by the way.
Well, I'll tell you what, they got lucky.
Oh, here we go.
They got lucky that they got the Kings rather than the Golden Knights, because last week they were matched to play the Golden Knights, and then it ended up being switched.
It's all lucky.
That was completely lucky.
Yes, absolutely. Very lucky team.
Yes.
The Rangers up 2-0 on Washington. You know, and I've watched a few of those. I want to say both games. I've watched a lot of the periods of those games. Washington looks slow.
Yeah.
Ovi, I love him. They're outmatched. They're just outmatched.
They're outmatched.
They're outmatched.
I mean, they barely made the playoffs, so it's kind of one of those, how far do you really expect them to go?
Well, that's honestly the way I felt about the Kings matching up against Edmonton. I went, okay, Edmonton's going to smoke them because the Kings really shouldn't be here. I mean, they're here, congrats, but I don't think they should. I mean,
Carolina over the Islanders blew a game last night, same night the Knicks won. They were up 3-1. 3 minutes to go.
That comeback was
insane. And they
lose
the game. That's ridiculous. Can't happen. It did happen. That series, you want to talk about a series that's over? That series is over.
Yeah.
You don't lose like that in hockey and come back.
No.
You mentioned it. The Panthers up 2-0 on Tampa. Now, one's an overtime game that could have gone either way. The only thing I'll say about that is, I don't care if it's 3-0 against Tampa. You never count Tampa.
No,
that's the only team I would
say
that I would not put the nail in their coffin.
You can count them out when they're
out.
And 3-0.
And even then,
there's 2 minutes left, and they're down by
five. That's about it.
That I agree with. But Florida had a massive loss. They lost one of their key players, Bennett. Bennett's out. So, I mean, we don't know how that's going to swing.
Boston-Toronto, we mentioned that series is tied 1-1, and they are playing right now. And that's really where we stand in the NHL. But the Nashville Predators.
Absolutely.
So the Predators last night in Vancouver get the big win. Philip Forsberg, a goal and assist. They haven't played great, okay?
No.
But they have played well enough to get a victory and a split. The bigger story here, Thatcher Demko out.
Goalie that's going to hurt.
That's tremendous loss for them.
I think he's the only reason they won the first game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know what that does. Does that...
Well,
I hate to ever say, you know, that's it. That's a wrap. Preds will win this. That's not the way hockey works. You can get a backup goalie to go in there.
I agree with that. But when you're talking about one of the best goalies in the league
this year. And it's a huge loss. There's no doubt.
Not knowing how long he's out.
That's right. Yeah. And without him this year, they have not been the same team.
No. Well, he's a Vezina candidate.
That's right.
I mean, he is one of the best goalies in the league. You know, I watched most of that game. The first game. Mm-hmm. And I fell asleep. I thought the Predators won that game when I went off the bed because they should have, and they couldn't close it. When Caitlin then told me the next day, Thatcher Demko's out, I said, oh, that's it. I mean, the Predators now, like, when they came out and just went right at, you know, they went right at the Canucks and scored, like, instantly. I said, this is done. Like, I think they're going to take advantage of this.
I think
if they can't stay out of the defensive zone, though,
that's the problem.
That's a fair, you're right.
Now, I will say, their defensive performance last night was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that defense, 30 block shots.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I needed a nice pack after watching.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these guys were laying their bodies in the line of fire all night.
Well, I mean,
but that's a dangerous way to be playing the game. You know, the Canucks only had technically 18 shots on goal.
Yes, but shot attempts.
was like 60.
Yeah, it was off the chart.
I mean, it's, yeah, that's not a good recipe to win a series.
But this series has been physical out the gate. Yeah. I mean, the first game was physical. This has been a very physical series.
All I'm saying is, and even as a Predators fan, don't get ahead of yourselves here.
Oh, I agree.
This could very easily go right back to Vancouver, tied 2-2, and then you're in a three-game series. And then maybe Demko's coming back. So the point being, if you're the Predators and if you're Burnett, the coach, I don't know if you have to, but boy, should you reiterate to your players, these two games, guys, he's out.
You have to win.
He is out. But these two games are the series. We win these two, we go back there 3-1. Odds are we're going to scrape by with one more, even against Demko. You can't split these two if you're in Nashville.
That.
You can't. No, you have to win these.
No, I agree.
I feel like if they split these two, Vancouver wins the whole thing.
I agree. I agree. Because I bet
I think if Nashville takes them, I give them a great chance to win.
I agree.
Not just because of being up 3-1, but then, you know, that's the thing. You're up 3-1. You took one of the home games from them. You've got a road game, a home game before you even get to game 7. So you got one or two games you have to win, as opposed to having to win two of those final three games. That game last night was, I didn't watch the Sunday night game because I knew starting at 9 o'clock, there's no way I'm going to see more than just the first, you know, 5-10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, the late, the West Coast starts are so tough. Yeah, it really is tough.
It was tough. I mean, I caught a break. I didn't have to go into work till 1 p.m. the next day, so I had kind of I was able to watch most of
it. Well, the
game.
Other problem is because it's on one network, what they did was because Tampa and Florida were in OT, they actually delayed until the end of Tampa, Florida, and making sure that they didn't get a last-second goal. So the Preds didn't drop till like 9:20.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, gosh, really? I mean, the first period, I think, ended. It was 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. I watched two periods. I fell asleep. That's the only bad thing when you play a West Coast team and you're an East Coast team and you're a fan. I mean, you're kind of stuck with that. You know, we'll see. Everything right now looking pretty good. The playoffs are, you know, maybe other than, to me, the Islanders. I really thought they'd play well. That collapse, just I can't see them rebounding from that. We'll see what happens.
It's going to shock you. The one series I think is kind of, as weird as it is, the most confident I am for a team to win a series, it's actually Vegas over Dallas.
Hmm.
And the only reason I say that is Vegas owns Dallas.
That means tonight, you know what, Phil?
Well, go out,
Dallas,
put your money on Dallas.
Hey,
one.
Hey, if that happens, I'm ecstatic. Listen, I'm unapologetic. I despise Vegas. So that's one team that if I can jinx them, I very happily will jinx that team.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Hockey's a battle. I mean, it is a battle.
It's just, I just don't see the defending champs going home in round one. I just don't see it. That's just me. I don't see
it. We'll see. Triple Play Sports Pub's first ever for the pub, that is, mock draft. This is probably, though, our fifth mock draft. We're terrible at it, just like everybody else is. But we do our best. We try to get them right. I think one year one of us had some pretty good success that opening maybe 10 picks or whatnot.
I think actually.
Wasn't it you?
Actually, last year, I think, yeah. I had some weird ones. I'm like,
actually, for the most part, I think you and I think all three of us do a good job.
I mean, it's easy the first few. We all know that. Yeah. But then after that, the way the things fall, you just don't know what's going to happen. Phil Tucker, Elijah Jacobs, Kenny Mann, that is Triple Play Sports. And, yeah, without further ado, the draft tomorrow night at, what is it, 7 p.m. maybe? 6 p.m., 7 p.m.?
7 p.m., I think.
where is this year? Why
Detroit.
Do I not know this?
In Detroit.
Detroit.
You haven't seen the
Detroit.
M&M ads?
I did not see the M&M ads, no.
Like M&M's candy?
The candies or the rapper?
Rapper. He's from Detroit.
I got you. No, I did not see that, so I don't know. Everybody tries to top Nashville, though. I will say that. Ever since we had the draft here. With incredible turnout of all the people and the incredible scene downtown. I feel like every city
so
tries
far,
to do
nothing
it.
Has come close
no,
to it.
Nothing
no,
close.
No. But Kansas City wasn't bad last year.
No. It's hard for getting riled up when you're a Super Bowl champ. I don't know. It just
seems like
it's anticlimactic.
You're constantly riled up, basically.
Exactly. So, all right. So it's our mock draft for 2024. And How do you want to do it, Phil? I'll let you take the lead on this. How do you want to go? You want to just go 1-1-1 and go from there and talk about each pick?
Okay. We'll just kind of each give our pick and then talk a little bit about each pick there.
All right.
Well, I think you should go first.
Yeah, I think Phil needs to go first because it's a little bit of an obvious.
I think why don't we just all say it at the same time with the number one pick, the Bears choose
Caleb Williams.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the most no-brainer picks we've seen at number one in a long time.
Yeah, I the last one I remember being this no-brainer was Joe Burrow. I mean, that's the last one I remember where it was like, okay, it's Joe Burrow. It has to be. I mean,
6'1", 215, not big. This is the Drew Brees size guy, a little heavier. 22 years old. He'll be 23 by the time the season starts. I have him obviously going one. Would I take him one? Yes, I would. I think I've told you guys that going back a while. I'm not in love with certain things, but none of those things are what I see on the field. I'm not in love with the
attitude.
I'm going to be the greatest player stuff. I'm not in love with any of that. But, okay, let's see how he plays. I think he's a no. I just think he's a can't-miss guy. That's what I think. I think he's a can't-miss.
To me, I feel like as the Bears, if you're not sticking with Justin Fields, you have to go with him.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, there is no other choice.
Yeah, I mean, you made that choice clear when you traded Justin Fields away. So, I mean, this is it.
Well, and with the way your team is constructed so far for the style of quarterback, to me, he's the one that fits in that. He fits that style that I think they were trying to get Justin Fields to play and just never could get that combination working.
Why is he going to be a success to me right off the bat? They planned this very well. Now, your franchise there, Phil, they don't do a lot right lately. But this, I feel they did right.
I agree.
They went out and got Keenan Allen. They have DJ Moore.
DJ Moore.
Yeah. Cole Kmet. He's going to have some weapons there.
Yeah.
This isn't last year with Bryce Young walking into the Panthers.
No, and not to
this
mention.
This is a nice setup for this kid to walk into. Yeah.
It's a very nice setup, and you forgot about the running back they
signed
this
offseason. Yeah, Swift, right?
Swift.
Well, and the thing is, the Bears didn't have to be the worst team in the league to get this pick.
That's right.
Because it's Carolina's pick. All they needed was Carolina to stink.
And they did.
Think about it. Yeah. And they shored up the edge rusher position with Sweat last year. So, I mean, they're sitting nice and pretty right now with this pick.
I think it's a can't-miss guy. I think he's going to make an impact immediately.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be very good, yeah. I mean, again, the only thing I would push on him would be calm it down.
I agree.
Calm it down.
Yeah,
I agree.
These guys are really big and really fast. Calm it down.
Yeah.
And trust me, they want to hit you.
If I was his agent, I'd be saying, it's time to just kind of shut up for a little bit.
Just go play. Go show them what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree.
Get on the field, then talk.
All right. Second pick. All right. Elijah Gadd, you'd be up for the second pick.
All right.
Pick, the first
with the
shot
second pick of the draft,
this is
the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. He fits perfectly. I think this is Cliff Kingsbury's offense. This is the kind of quarterback he has worked with. I just think I'm hearing all the rumblings that this is who the Washington Commanders want. And I think this is who they're going to take, Jaden Daniels. And they need a quarterback.
They do. I have them taking Jaden Daniels. Now, my worry on him is, I heard today, much like Caleb Williams, he said, I want to be the greatest running quarterback of all time. I don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that.
I am Washington. I don't want anyone running unless they have to in this league. You know, you get flashbacks of RG3 if you're Washington.
Mm.
And that's the only thing I get worried about. Now, he's 6'4", 210.
Not big.
6'4", 210?
Well, I mean,
that's pretty darn big.
210, he's a little slight.
He's a little slight, but 6'4".
6'4 is no slouch.
I go back and forth. I haven't taken Daniels. Phil, who do you have him taking?
I have Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Ooh.
I think it's a mistake.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't be shocked if they went Drake May. I wouldn't be shocked. Because there's that thought that maybe they look at that too and say, I don't want to have a running quarterback kind of feeling. But we'll see. Drake, I still think
Drake may runs also, though.
Not like this.
Yeah, not like this. Right, not like this. But
I mean, of the two, from what I can recall seeing of their time in college, Drake May is more of the prototypical NFL can run, but doesn't run first.
Right. Right. But I think Jaden Daniels is a more polished passer than Drake May is. I think he's shown that he's a little bit more of a polished passer, which if you're more of a polished passer, I don't know why you'd want to run. But we'll see how this goes.
All right, so we're all in agreement of one and two, no doubt about that, and two quarterbacks right off the board. So before we go further, I had a question for you guys. So they did a data study of the last 20 drafts from 2000 to 2019. What do you think are the positional hit rates, before we go any further? Meaning, what position drafted ends up getting a second contract more than the other by percentage?
Depends on the end, edge rusher?
Edge rushers, 44% end up getting second contracts after they're drafted in the first round.
That's number one, right?
No, it is not even close. No, wide receiver is last.
Oh.
27% of wide receivers drafted in the first round got second contracts. So their hit ratio in this is 21 out of 77. That actually got second contracts.
Is it offensive tackle?
Offensive tackle is number two at 59%.
It's quarterback? So
it is not. Quarterback is 46%. Shockingly, but when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. What is a position that is the least, you know, if you overdraft it, it's the least likely to cause you any problems because it's an easy position to fill in a sense.
Tight end?
Center.
Ah. Huh.
So centers were drafted 12 times. 11 received new contracts after their fifth year. They got re-signed by their team.
I just don't think of centers getting drafted in the first round.
And that's why it was only 12.
Yeah, because I'm about
to say. So if you want to go by that. And guards, same thing. Guards, 14 out of 14 guards. 14 out of 28 guards got a new contract. It was very interesting, though, to see tight end, one of the lowest. 33% hit rate.
Tight ends do not do well. I was thinking defensive end, but what hurts that ratio is the fact that so many defensive ends are taken in the first round.
Yeah, it could be overdrafted positions. Exactly. Everybody looking for those edge rushers.
When I think of the guys who keep getting the big contracts, I'm always seeing Bosa, Garrett, Parsons. So I was thinking, okay.
But again, this isn't about the big contracts, it's just about percentages get it. I just thought that was very interesting. All right, on to number three. I may differ with you guys here. I have New England staying where they are and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think they take a QB here. But I
don't know
think
who's
going to
throw him the ball there.
I don't know that. But I think they say he's the best player in the whole draft.
Yeah, he is.
If nobody offers them something for a QB to move up, I think they take Harrison.
Mm.
What do you got?
Well, so my first projected trade of the draft.
Okay.
I have the Minnesota Vikings trading their two first picks this draft and a first round pick next draft to jump up to the number three spot and take Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina.
Drake May, Minnesota Vikings.
And they trade three first-round picks to the two they got this year and the one next year to go up and nab Drake May.
Okay.
All right.
Three for you.
I've got the Patriots taking Drake May.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I think the first three quarterbacks go off the board right off the bat, and I think they all pick them pretty quick.
All right. Well, there you go. Pick number four, so things could change here. Phil Gadd, you've got it. It's the Cardinals, maybe. We'll see.
All right. Well, I didn't do any trades just because I expect some, but, man, figuring out where they're going to go and which direction. Too much for me right now. So I went with the Cardinals sticking in the fourth spot and picking up Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm.
A good weapon that they definitely need out there in Arizona.
All Elijah. Right. Another projected trade.
All right. You got two in the 3-4, right?
Yeah. And I have the New York Giants trading a second and a third to jump up and nab J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan.
So they're going to trade a 2 and a 3? What about their 6?
Oh, wait, wait. Wait, what?
They have the 6th pick, the Giants.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying Arizona gets the 6th pick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
they
what
trade
I thought.
Back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They trade
okay.
back. Well, I mean, they trade like a third. Let me okay. rephrase that. They Fair trade, enough. They trade their 3rd-round pick this draft and jump up and get
J.J.
McCarthy,
huh?
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm, I don't know.
I think they want to start fresh with the quarterback room there.
Understood. All right. I have Malik Nabers here. I've already had Harrison go to the Patriots. I agree with Phil. They're going to take a receiver. And Malik Nabers, LSU, fast, slot, and outside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can go wrong.
I don't think so
I
either.
Like that pick for them. I'm going to go with that. All right. Mm-hmm. We are up 2 on the clock, San Diego.
Well, I'll start here, and I'm wearing somewhat of a shade of khaki pants here as Khaki Pants goes to take his first pick of the draft. And in a complete shocking, I mean, he's completely shocked here, he takes Marvin Harrison Jr., receiver out of Ohio State. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Justin Herbert hook up down there.
That would be great for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, yes.
I have a receiver also. I have him taking Roma Dunze out of Washington. 6'3", 215. He flies also. And same type of thing. I mean, he may not be as good as Nabers and Harrison, but he's going to be a great player. And when he pairs up with Herbert, I think that's perfect for them.
I have them staying put, and as much as I hope this is not the case, I have them going for some offensive line need.
Oh boy.
I have them taking Joe Alt
out
of Notre Dame.
We don't want that.
No, we
I hope
don't.
That is not the case, but that's where I'm going with them.
All right, we go to 6 and the New York Giants for me. They are still there, and for me... there's a quarterback still there. They didn't have to trade up, and they take Drake May with the 6th pick.
Do you think he's going to be at 6?
Well, listen, I had Caleb, I had Jalen Daniels, and then I told you, I didn't think New England was taking the quarterback. So if they don't take the quarterback, I don't think Arizona does. I just don't see – I don't know who's going to trade up that far to get Drake May. Now, maybe Minnesota does.
Yeah.
But – I think he's there, and I think they grab him because they say, I can't believe he's here.
I got you.
And they take Drake May.
I got you.
All right. Well, since on mine, the 3 quarterbacks are already gone, I have the Giants taking Malik Nabers.
There you go.
And I have the this is the Arizona Cardinals with me, but I also have them taking Malik
Nabers. All right. All right, we go down the line, and here come the Tennessee Titans with 7. I have Joe Alt, obviously, if he's there. I think he's the pick. The only thing I feel that can mess this up would be if one of those receivers falls and if Callahan is thinking like he did in Cincy between the Penei Sewell and Ja'Marr Chase thing and they lean towards a wideout. I'm going to say that's not the case and Joe Alt is there.
I'm also going with Joe Alt, tackle out of Notre Dame here. I just think this is a no-brainer pick to me.
It would be if he's there to me, obviously.
Yeah, I just think it's a no-brainer.
Phil, you have Joe Alt gone already to San Diego.
Yes.
What's
so
there?
I have the Titans still picking offensive tackle with the second-best one in the draft with Alumia Fashnow out of Penn State.
Yeah, he is, supposedly. I hope that's not the case. I mean, it's like, who
he's
knows?
Got a lot of upside. Fashanu has a lot of upside. I mean, they're saying he just keeps getting better and better. He has a lot of upside. So,
I mean, listen, it's hard to differentiate between these are huge men.
Yes.
Alt seems to be a generational guy. The other two even still look like they could be 10, 12-year starters. I don't think there's going to be you shouldn't have taken one of these guys. I think you just take the one you have highest on your board when it lands to you. And, you know, maybe, hopefully, I feel for the Titans, it's Joe Alt. But I don't think it's a big drop-off where it's, oh, my God.
No.
Okay. Titans are off the board. We head over to Atlanta. And Phil Gadd, who do you got for the Falcons coming up?
I think they go defense this time and go with edge rusher Dallas Turner out of Alabama.
Well, Phil, this is starting to really scare me here because we've agreed on a lot of these picks. But so I also have Dallas taking defense. I mean, Atlanta taking defense and picking Dallas Turner out of Alabama.
All right. I have Atlanta taking Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa. Cornerback out of Iowa.
Ooh.
So he is the highest rated corner. He's about the eighth ranked player in the whole draft. He is a big corner, 6'1", 207. I feel like this team is loaded on offense. Loaded. You know, they've got, what's his name now?
They've got a good cornerback there already.
They do. Though. Well, why not two? You know, you've got your new quarterback. You've got your weapons. You've got Bijan Robinson. You've got Pitts. Grab someone on D right now. Let's make this a full-rounded team. I've got them taking the corner. All right, we go to the ninth pick. And the Bears are back on the clock. Phil?
I have them going offense again and getting another one of the top receivers listed in the draft with Rome Odunze.
Wow, that would be nice for you.
I want to read this off, but I'm laughing because I also have the Chicago Bears taking Rome Odunze here.
Were you cheating off my homework?
I don't know, man. I don't know. This is starting to scare me a little bit. We got a lot of the same picks here.
All right. For me, the Bears, because they've got their quarterback, and they did really well in free agency, this is where my trade comes in. I see the Vikings moving up two spots and the Bears moving back two spots. And then the Vikings giving up maybe a third with that to move up the two spots. And the Minnesota Vikings taking J.J. McCarthy.
Mm.
All right, we move to 10. It's the New York Jets. I'll give you mine. The Jets grab a weapon. Brock Bowers. Tight end goes for Aaron Rodgers to play. What do you got?
I have the New York Jets taking Brock Bowers.
There you go.
Tight end out of Georgia. Come on, Phil. Let's make it
up. It's a clean sweep. I have the Jets taking Brock Bowers out of Georgia. That's
right.
Of all the years we've done this, that's the highest, like the farthest back pick I can think of. We all picked the same thing.
Well, yeah.
We'll never know. Let's see. We go to 11. So the Jets, listen, by the way, on that pick, I mean, Aaron Rodgers got to love that.
Yeah,
I love that, right? A big tight end, a talented tight end, played at Georgia. He was dominant. He was absolutely dominant. Nice to have for a quarterback coming off injury, someone to dump the ball to.
The only thing that makes me nervous about that pick is the first round tight end experiment has not gone well. I don't know why that is or what it is. All these guys, for some reason, they're just... they don't pan out like they should.
Well, one's got to at some point.
Yeah. You'd think that. I mean, Hockenson is one. I'll give you that. That was one, but it took him years to become good.
Well, the thing is, with Brock Bowers, if you're the Jets, you already have your big receiving weapon in Garrett Wilson.
True. Right.
You know, and you already have some other weapons.
And you have your running back.
You have your running back.
So this would be a nice... safety valve for an aging quarterback.
Brock Bowers doesn't have to be the guy.
No, no. But he would be well utilized by Aaron Rodgers. There's no doubt about it. All right, we head over to the 11th pick. And that, for me, is the Bears. I told you the Bears trade back two. And they do that because, in my board, the top receivers were gone. But they're going to go grab one anyway. They're going to grab Adonai Mitchell, wide out of Texas. He is the gentleman that ran the fastest 40 this year, and it was incredibly 6'4", 196, 21 years old. He's going to be really good. And when you put him out there with Keenan Allen and his new quarterback, Caleb Williams, I think that would be pretty dynamic for them. And I do believe they go wide out, but he's the one on my board that's still there.
All right. Elijah?
All right. So... I have, this is the Patriots here because I've had them traded back to this spot, and I have them taking the offensive lineman, you say his name.
Fashanu.
I have them taking Fashanu out of Penn State. I think they're going to rebuild, and why not start with the offensive line? Okay.
All right. So the 11th pick, I left the Vikings there, but I still think they still get their quarterback. I have them picking J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan.
Mm. Wow. So who do we have left? We've all had Williams, Daniels, McCarthy go, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And May.
And May. We've had four, all of us, go in top 11.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. So Penix is still there.
I wonder.
Bo Nix is still out there.
Yeah. Interesting. Four out of 11 QBs.
And I don't really think the QBs are the best players in this draft. I think Caleb
But they're
Williams,
always overdrafted. Yeah. That's the thing. All right. Let's go to 12 then, and that is the Denver Broncos. Elijah?
I have them reaching here. They okay. need a quarterback
Oh,
bad.
Boy.
And Bo Nix looks a lot like Drew Brees. He's built kind of similar. He plays similar. And I think the Denver Broncos take Bo Nix here with the 12th pick of the draft.
All right, I have the Broncos taking Bo Nix.
Wow.
6'2", you're right. He's Breeze-like. I think Breeze was a little shorter than that. 6'2", 217. Now, he's going to be 25 years old in a heartbeat by the time the season starts. But I don't think that's a negative on this team. I think no. Sean Payton is the kind of coach that actually...
likes that.
Yeah, needs a guy adult. That almost, yeah, is adult-like right out of the gate. And I think this will work out really nice for both Nix and Payton.
All right. Well, I actually have them going edge rusher and taking Jared Verse out of Florida State. Mm.
That is a very good pick, by the way.
It is. All right.
So, takes us up to the 13th pick and the Raiders.
The Raiders. Well, I have the Las Vegas Raiders taking Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama here.
Terrion Arnold? Why did I not hear of him? All right. Cornerback, you said?
Yeah.
All right. I continue, and here's where all the quarterbacks are gone. Michael Penix Jr. goes Ooh. To the Raiders.
You think a defensive-minded
yes.
coach is going to take
I
a
do,
quarterback?
I do. Ooh, I think I don't they don't have a quarterback. Who do they have?
Well, Gardner Minshew.
So with my 13th pick, I have the Raiders picking Michael Penix
there you
Jr.
Go.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah, I like that there for him. You know, you've got, what's his name there in the wideout? Escaping me.
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams. You got a veteran receiver. Believe it or not, he's a veteran quarterback. He's yeah. another guy. He's 25 years old. If you keep him upright, mm-hmm. he can deliver the ball. Mm-hmm. I like the pick for them, and there you go. I have what 13 picks. I have six quarterbacks.
Wow, yes,
that's hard to believe.
Holy cow!
What? Yeah, I mean, it could happen this year. So the 14th pick, we have the Saints. I'll just go ahead and throw mine out there. I think they go offensive line and take tackle Talese Fuaga out of Oregon State.
Okay.
I think the New Orleans Saints also go tackle and take Talese Fuaga out of Oregon State.
Wow, you guys are right on it. So he is, by the way, 6'6", 334 pounds.
He looks like
He's
Penei
a big
Sewell.
Man.
He looks like Penei Sewell to
He's
me.
He's 22 years old. You know... How do you go wrong with a 6'6 offensive tackle,
and he's,
right?
And he's nasty.
And he is nasty. So not a bad pick there for you guys. I, on the other hand, have them going defensive lineman here. And I have them taking Jerzon Newton out of Illinois. He is somewhere. They need help there, by the way. He's a 6'2", 295. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Very fast, very fast. I just feel like that he would be a perfect fit over in New Orleans. All right, we go to the Colts, 15.
All right. Well, I have the Colts taking Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback. Is it Kenyon Mitchell?
I think Quinyon.
Quinyon, okay, because it's with a Q. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo.
I have the Colts taking
Quinyon Mitchell.
Cornerback Quinyon Mitchell of Toledo.
This is incredible. I'm kind of getting nervous now. What if this is how the draft goes?
Played in Toledo, right?
Yes.
Pretty odd. No cornerback forced more incompletions in two seasons than Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, he's a name that's been moving up quickly.
I get a lot of Sauce Gardner vibes here. I get a lot of Sauce Gardner vibes.
I mean, I always get a little worried when I see names like the Toledo Rockets, but, you know, and you worry about competition. And I get that.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. But he seems extremely athletic, and he seems like he's going to be a great fit for them. I think it's a great pick. I, though, have them taking Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, out of LSU, and this is the guy Jaden Daniels relied on all year. And I think they need a wide out over there, and that's the route they go. So Thomas is 6'4", 205. I mean, you know, it's wide out. Big, tall wide out. They need it. All right. We go to the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. Well, the Seattle Seahawks had a terrible run-stopping defense last year. So I have the Seahawks taking, I'm looking at you, Phil, defensive tackle Byron Murphy out of Texas.
Nope.
Okay, good.
Not this time.
Okay, I was getting a little nervous there. Are we going to get four in a row now?
So I actually have them going offensive line and taking Troy Fautenau out of Washington. So he gets to stay local.
All right, and this may be the first time we don't have anything the same. I have them taking edge rusher out of UCLA, Latatu, edge rusher, and another big dude, 6'5", 265. He had a neck injury, and they feel he's over it, and he would have been a lot higher pick if it wasn't for that. So what, you had defense also, Phil?
I had offensive line.
You have
for
offense.
Them.
You had defense.
Yep. I had Byron Murphy.
All right, so we had two defense, one offense there. Jaguars in the division. Who are they taking with the 17th pick?
I have them taking Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson.
Nate Wiggins, all right.
I have them going cornerback as well, but I have them taking Terrion Arnold out of Alabama.
Yeah, Arnold and Wiggins very close in how they're ranked. Arnold ranked a bit higher, according to the experts. I have them taking Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, out of Toledo. Now, you guys already had him taken. I have him falling here to the Jaguars. All right, we go to 18 and the Bengals.
All right. Well, the Bengals are completely shocked that this guy is still on the board. He should have been gone by now. But the Bengals take Jared Verse, edge rusher out of Florida State.
Jared Verse, edge rusher out of Florida State. All right, I have the Bengals here getting some protection for Joe Burrow, and they take Troy Fontenot here, and that is the Washington tackle, another big dude, 6'4", 317. He protected Michael Penix Jr. pretty good, and other than the last game.
And he also can play any position on the offensive line, too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's, he could play center, he could play guard if you need him to. And they want to protect Burrow.
Yeah. So the Bengals definitely need a lot of help on that offensive line. I have them taking an offensive tackle as well, but I have them taking J.C. Latham out of Alabama.
And they're all good. Like I said, these guys may end up being six of one, half a dozen of another.
The offensive line class this year looks really deep.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you could even still get a really high-quality offensive lineman.
Probably.
Second, third round.
Yeah. Latham, 6'6", 335. My goodness gracious. 21 years old, by the way. So, young guy.
Yeah, I think he's bigger than that. I thought he was
6'6", 335.
Oh, I thought he was 340, 350.
Did you weigh him?
Well, I mean,
what are you talking about? We're talking about 7 pounds for a guy.
How big a boy are you?
335. You think he's got seven more pounds on him? Would he just eat lunch?
Well, the website I was looking at, they had him ranked at like 360 or something. I was like, wow.
I don't think they want him to be 360. He can't move that well. Let's see here. Moving on. I have now the, is this right? The Rams are up on 19.
Correct.
Well, I have the Rams going defense here on the defensive line, and they take local guy, Loetu Latu, edge rusher out of UCLA. Are you kidding me right now, Phil? Are you kidding?
All right. So in the 4 years of doing this on the radio, we have never had this many times the two of us had the same picks in the same spots this far into it. I indeed have, at number 19, the Rams taking Letao, edge rusher out of UCLA.
All right. I have them taking a defensive lineman, too, but it's Byron Murphy II out of Texas. I feel they, you know, Aaron Donald's gone.
Yeah.
So we're going to replace someone on that defensive line. It could easily be the guy you guys picked. It could easily be this guy. He's a little undersized, 6'1", 308, but supposedly a very gifted pass rusher on the interior part of the line, and that's exactly what they're losing. All right, we go to the Steelers. Steelers added two quarterbacks, by the way, over the free agency.
And they need to protect those quarterbacks. So I have them going offensive line here and taking Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia.
Okay, Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. Okay, I got him. Here we go. All right, Phil, what do you got?
I have them going offensive tackle, but I have them taking Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Okay, I have them taking offensive line, but in my case, they're taking a center. And we just mentioned the position of center being the most successful position that translates in the NFL. I have them taking Jackson Powers Johnson. He is the center for the Oregon Ducks, and he's by far the highest-rated center in the draft. Usually you get a guy like this, you're going to have him for 12 years. You know, Steelers, got two quarterbacks, got to have a new center. Let's get going. 21, the Miami Dolphins.
I have them taking Fontenot out of Washington, offensive line.
All right. I have them taking Amarius Mims out of Georgia.
All right, and I have them also taking an offensive lineman. Mine, though, is going to be tackle Talese Fioga out of Oregon State, who is still there at 21 for them. Might be a good time for us to
take a short break
and come back and finish this thing.
We'll have a lot more coming up. You're listening to AAA Sports, brought to you by Planet Fitness here on WQKR.
Music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice. Our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690.
WQKR. Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000 plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel spectacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
Whether you're on your way to work in the morning and looking to grab a quick breakfast, on lunch break and wanting something good and hot and quick, or just hungry and not sure what you want, the one place you can always find what will work for you is AM Express at the intersection of Highways 31 and 52, just off exit 117 of I-65 in Portland. They're open 24 hours a day, offer both takeout and Grubhub delivery service, and have the biggest selection of fast food of anyone in the area. Fast food or home-cooked meals, meat and two sides, just $6.49. Delicious Godfather's pizza, 3 for $13.99. Fried chicken strips, livers and gizzards, hot, barbecued and crispy wings, fish, potato wedges, onion rings, the biggest and best selection anywhere, and Quiznos subs, always hot and ready to go, plus everything else you want or need from a truly convenient convenience store. AM Express at the intersection of Highways 52 and 31, just off exit 117 of I-65 in Portland. Get what you want when you want it. Pick it up or have it delivered by Grubhub. AM Express, 615-325-1159.
Welcome back in to Triple Play Sports and WQKR 101.7 FM, 1270 AM, sponsored by Planet Fitness. All right, so Triple Play Sports, the pub, that is back. Phil Tucker, Elijah Jacobs, and myself, Kenny Mann. And in our, I guess, our last third of the NFL draft coming up tomorrow night for us, our mock draft this evening, we left off with the Miami Dolphins. We are now up to Elijah's second favorite team, Philadelphia Eagles.
Third favorite team.
Oh, okay. The Philadelphia Eagles. Elijah, take it. Who are the Eagles getting to bother the Cowboys this
year? Jackson Powers Johnson. That's who they are taking.
The center.
Yes, center.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. That is who they are taking here. They
need
to replace
Jason Kelce. Well,
that's a
good pick. Think about it, right?
Yeah, they need to replace
Jason Kelce. Goes. Yep. They need someone to do that tush-push.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
We'll see if they can do it.
All right. I have the Eagles taking a wideout, Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin, that's right, out of Oregon. I have a very funny feeling. We'll get into it after we do this. I don't know what's going on with A.J. Brown.
I think he's going to trade.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm not sure with him.
Anyway, I'm going with a little safety net here for them. Mm-hmm. This kid is a little bit underrated, that is, and yet he's a big kid. For all intents and purposes, should be a success in this league. He is 6'3", can play the slot. He'll probably be a definite two, definite. Yeah, you know, if AJ's there, then you got your, yeah, you got Devonta Smith too.
Yeah.
That'd be a heck of a.
Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, if he's playing like we have seen him be able to play, mm-hmm. and yeah. then this guy, ooh,
AJ
that
Brown
could be dangerous.
AJ Brown's really looking like the modern day Terrell Owens.
He is. Yeah. Phil, who you got?
So I have the Eagles taking cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson.
Okay. We move to Minnesota Vikings, at least for me. They're still there. They're still there.
It's the Patriots for me because of the trade.
Okay, you traded. So go ahead then. You have the Pats at 23. This was a trade with the Vikings.
Uh-huh, and they're going to take a weapon, Brian Thomas Jr.
Okay, very good.
Out of LSU.
I think I had him taken already. I had him taken by the Colts.
Yeah.
He is a weapon. All right, Phil, who do you got the for you, at least, it's the Vikings.
Still the Vikings. I have them taking defensive tackle Byron Murphy II.
Mm. Okay, and I have them taking corner Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. You can't go wrong taking anybody on the defensive side of the ball when they have an Alabama uniform on.
Mm-hmm.
These were the last. You know, this is going to get interesting now. These are going to be the last group of kids drafted to the NFL under the Saban umbrella.
Yeah. I mean, you might have some guys this year or
yeah.
this coming year because they were recruited by Saban.
Yeah.
But as far as like the real Saban guys, this is it.
I wonder if we're going to see a big drop-off or are we going to see a slight drop-off? Because let's be honest, it's still Alabama. But,
and they got a good coach there.
And they've got a good coach. But I do believe you're going to see a percentage drop of that automatic, hey, you're on the
I think at least the first couple of years you'd have to see some kind of drop.
Yeah. Okay. Elijah, we are now at, we'll wait for you. 24, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I'll go. So the Cowboys, by the way, Tony Pollard's a Titan,
mm-hmm.
right? Last year, Zeke Elliott, Patriots. Who's left?
I don't know.
Exactly. I'll tell you who's left. Blake Corum.
If they do that, that is a disaster. He's not even the number one rated running back.
Okay. I'll tell you why.
Why?
The number one rated running back, by the way, out of Texas has ACL injuries coming off of. Uh-huh. I just don't think Jerry wants to worry. And he goes, I watched Blake Corum play in those playoffs. I'm taking Blake Corum.
No,
if you're going in running back, he's the one I would take.
I wouldn't take him there. Not with all the good offensive linemen on the board.
Well, I don't have any left. So
okay, well, I all have right, the so Cowboys.
The Cowboys, who, by the way, they need a running back. They need a wide out.
Do they need a wide out?
Who do they got?
They got CeeDee Lamb and the guy from, what is his name?
The Cowboys.
Yeah, but his name always slips me. The guy from the Texans that we traded for. Brandon.
I know. That's what I mean. You got CeeDee Lamb. I'll give you that. All right, who are they taking?
They're taking offensive lineman J.C. Latham.
That would be
Alabama.
Great for them if he is there,
to
obviously.
To replace Tyron Smith.
Yeah, that would be great for them if he is there. They do need a tackle, by the way, and a center. All right, Phil, who do the Cowboys take?
Well, I have them going offensive line as well. I have them taking Graham Barton out of Duke.
Duke, a nice Duke lineman. I like that. All right, we go to the Green Bay Packers, Phil's favorite team. And I have the Packers taking the tackle J.C. Latham out of Alabama.
So you think J.C. Latham, if he's there, the Cowboys aren't going to take him but take Blake Corum?
Yes. And
based
that's because
on what?
Of Jerry Jones. Jerry loves the splash. He did it with CeeDee Lamb.
Well, that was he was also the 17th pick.
Who's
that was a
your running back? I'll say it again.
I think they could get a running back.
Where?
Probably, I don't
they
know.
Didn't.
Tony Pollard was a fifth-round running back.
Okay.
I mean, they don't
then,
need to
draft
Fair
enough. Time. When do you think Jerry expects this team to win?
I don't know.
Yesterday.
I don't really
he
know.
He wanted them to win yesterday. He's got Dak.
You are
He's
betting
got
on Jerry Jones' incompetency more than you're betting on him being smart.
No, I don't think
game.
It's too much incompetent. I think he looks at it
Blake
and says
Blake Corum
he's
is a
three-down back.
But he's a projected third-round pick.
He's a three-down back.
Oh, I don't see Jerry Jones taking a third-round pick.
Honestly, it wouldn't shock me if he did.
I mean,
take a running
it
back
would
right
shock
there.
Me. It would completely shock me.
All right, we'll see what happens. All right, moving on. Did you give me your pick for Green Bay,
I did
Phil?
Not. Oh.
We didn't. Neither of us did
okay,
yet. So I have Green Bay taking defensive back Cooper DeJean out of Iowa.
Well, I guess Elijah does also. This would be the latest ever, right?
Cooper DeJean out of Iowa.
25, you guys are going to match up.
Well, you know, I think in years past, maybe somewhere in there in that back half, we had like one here, one there, maybe, but... Yeah.
Now you got a few.
Yeah.
All right. We move to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield. Phil, what do we got?
I have them going edge rusher again. But, of course, now we're starting to get down the list of edge rushers. I have them taking Chop Robinson out of Penn State.
Okay. Elijah, who do you got?
I have them taking receiver here. And I have him going with Ladd McConkie, receiver out of Georgia.
Very good receiver, by the way. Very good receiver.
And he's smaller. I think that way you got your big receiver and you got your little smaller, shifty receiver.
Played quarterback and running back, that guy, by the way. Jonathan Brooks, the other halfback, goes right here. There you
go.
Two running backs in the first round for me.
That's a shame.
As I said prior, the Buccaneers don't have running back. They just don't. This would fill that for them. All right, we move on. It's back for me, at least, to the Cardinals again. Same for you guys?
Yeah,
yep.
I've still got the Cardinals.
All right, I've got the Cardinals taking a center. Nice, easy pick for them. They've already taken Neighbors. Now they get a guy to protect, not only their running back, but also to protect Kyler Murray. Zach Frazier, center, West Virginia.
I have the Cardinals with a defensive coach going defensive line, and I have them taking... Johnny Newton, defensive lineman.
Okay.
Out of Illinois.
Out of Illinois. All right. Phil, who do the Cardinals got?
Well, I have them going defensive line as well, but I have them taking Darius Robinson out of Missouri.
Okay. We go to the Bills. Big disappointment last year for the Bills. Yep. Another falling short. Now Diggs gone. All right. Here we go. The Bills are on the clock, Phil.
I have them going wide receiver with Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU.
All right.
I have him going wide receiver also, but I have him taking Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas.
All right. Wide receiver here, it's Keon Coleman out of Florida State. So
is
there
that
you
the
go.
Big guy?
Yes, it is. So the Bills replacing, so to speak, Stephon Diggs are trying to.
Detroit Lions fell a little short.
But had a very successful year.
The draft's in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And the Lions are on the clock. Elijah, who's got
and
it?
And they take an edge rusher who is just basically made for them to play for them. And it's Darius Robinson, edge rusher out of Missouri. I think he fits perfectly with that culture down there.
Robinson. Where did I not see him? Chop Robinson? Is that what you're saying? Darius Robinson out of Missouri. There's two Robinsons.
Yeah.
I have them going back to back.
I have them taking edge also, but it's Dallas Turner out of Alabama.
You have Dallas Turner falling
far? I absolutely do, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked by that one.
I told you, when I did this draft, I went by no one. Wow. I went through this by need. That's
it. You have Dallas Turner falling.
Hey, listen, my drafts have been very unsuccessful. So I needed to
go against what you've done, right?
That's right.
I have the Lions going cornerback and taking Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama.
All right. There you go. We're up to the 30s now, and we got the 30th pick. Another team that really, really, really fell short of expectations in the Ravens. For me, they're going to take a tackle. They're going to take Fashanu, is that how we say it, out of Penn State. And that's going to help out not only Derrick Henry, but it's obviously
going to help. You have him falling that far?
I absolutely do. Yes, I do. There are a lot of talented players in this draft.
I agree with that, but that, oof. I thought you already had him off the board.
No, I did not. Maple Leafs score, by the way, and we are now 1-0.
That is the best news
Toronto
I have
Maple
heard.
Leafs in the playoff game All against right. Boston. Go ahead. We've got the 30th pick for you.
And it's the Ravens. They like defense, and they're going to take Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Well, very close. You guys almost did it again. 30 for you, Phil.
I actually have them going wide receiver and going with someone who led college football in yards after catch.
Mm-hmm.
I have them taking Malachi Corley, wide receiver out of Western Kentucky.
Okay. Mm. There's Phil's homer pick right there. The Hilltoppers get an NFL player. There you go. 31, the much-loved 49ers for Mr. Elijah Jacobs.
Elijah, the only team I hate.
How can you help the Niners in this draft pick, buddy?
Well, I think they're going to take a defensive lineman because that just seems to be what they do. And I think they're going to take Braden Fisk, defensive lineman, out of Florida State.
All right. I have them taking defense, but I haven't taken Nate Wiggins, the cornerback, out of Clemson.
Well, I have them going offensive line because I did see that as a need for them.
And it is.
It is.
And I have them taking Jordan Morgan out of Arizona.
All right, and that leads us to the end of the draft, and that is the Super Bowl champions. Not that they need a lot. They seem to win no matter what. The Chiefs are on the board and end the first round, Elijah.
And they take wide receiver out of Texas, Xavier Worthy. That's what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to get a nice receiver. I mean, Rashid Rice, we don't know. Everything with him is up in the air right now. So I say they take wide receiver Xavier Worthy here.
Worthy. I didn't know much about him. All right. There we go. I have them taking a receiver, and I have them, and this is going to annoy everybody because they'll turn this guy into an unbelievable player. Not that he isn't already showing that. Ladd McConkey. And if they grab him, boy, is that going to be annoying.
Yeah, and he's kind of Ladd McConkey is going to be. He's
in everything. He's a slot. He can get outside. I can see them running jet sweeps with this kid. He's that kind of player. Like
Swiss
I told
Army
you earlier, yes. He's played quarterback, running back, defensive back, and punter in high school. He could do just about everything. Well, doesn't that just fit Andy Reid as a gadget?
I mean,
you know, here's on my next gadget player.
Yeah, like Brian Westbrook was like that.
Absolutely. So there you go. I have Ladd McConkey. Phil, who finishes your draft?
To wrap it up, I have the Chiefs taking, and we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that if this happens, it's just not fair. Adonai Mitchell.
Oh, there you go.
Wide receiver out of Texas.
The other one.
Just toss it up and he'll run over there or wherever you throw it.
And that's, you know, he's a big guy, too.
Yeah, and fast.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the NFL mock draft, at least ours. We'll look at it next week and see where we landed and how we did. So I wanted to quickly propose to you guys, I had a trade in there. Elijah, you had how many?
I had two trades? I think I had two.
The only thing I thought of was, and I didn't want to throw too many trades into it because it gets a little confusing, but if there were a trade, would this be something that would shock you guys? One I had was, and again, this is only because of what I'm hearing. Could the Eagles possibly trade A.J. Brown to the Patriots?
Yes.
For the three. And, I mean, it just seems so crazy, but could he get traded 2 years in a row, basically, during draft night? I don't know. If they get the three, they can take Marvin Harrison Jr., more than likely.
Yeah.
Two quarterbacks, and then they could replace this guy. Now, if you're New England, is that sound viable to you? Do you want A.J. Brown, who you know can be top three in the league, guaranteed, or do you want Marvin Harrison Jr. or a quarterback there? Could that trade happen? How's that sound? Or most likely, unlikely?
I think unlikely. Okay. I just have a hard time seeing the Patriots wanting to take on all the baggage that comes with A.J. Brown.
No. I agree with you there. This is now Gerard Mayo. You never know.
I'm still going to say a hard no.
Hard
here
no?
Because right. Here's what I'm also looking at. Who's he got throwing the ball to him?
Well, that's the thing.
I'm just sitting there. Like, you think A.J. Brown is rough to deal with
now?
Oh,
I know. Can you imagine?
If he's not getting the ball. Not to mention, you got to look at the cap hits you're taking on with A.J. Brown. I don't see it.
To me, it's if they're that desperate to get a wide receiver, they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
I agree. Yeah. I have them taking him. Does A.J. Brown get traded?
I think he does, but I don't think it's a team like New England that's going to take him. You know who I could see taking him? I could see the Buffalo Bills taking A.J. Brown.
No, I just don't. They just got over Diggs.
Yeah, but.
God, Diggs was a headache at the end. And this guy's a headache coming in.
I agree with you, but I'm just trying to think of a team that would do it. And I could see them being the team that does it. I just could because
what about
they
Arizona?
Don't.
Arizona?
No.
No?
I don't see it. No.
Because, but that just sounds like that'd be fine for them. Kyler Murray, A.J. Brown, they just did the.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that. Why would Arizona want him? You got to look at a team that is willing to. Actually, now that this happens, I could see this happening too. If, what's the receiver from San Francisco's name? Not Deebo Samuel's the other guy.
Ayuk.
If Ayuk gets traded away. Mm-hmm. I could see the 49ers at some point trading for A.J. Brown because I'm looking at a team that's right there.
Yeah,
in contention.
I could understand that. A team that an A.J. would be happy to go to because he says we're going to be in the championship
game.
And
they'd be willing to put up with him as a headache a year or two because they're that good and that's all they need.
The most talked about team is Minnesota. It seems as though on the surface they went out and grabbed that other pick in order to have trade capital. Yes or no, do they trade up in this draft, or do they sit at 11 and 23?
Well, you already heard my draft.
You say they do.
Mine's a hard yes, because that team has everything you need. But the quarterback. And you got an offensive guru who seems to work with any quarterback you throw back there. I mean, he does. He's thrown a lot of quarterbacks back there.
Who do they want?
I'm going to say Drake May because
if they want May, they have to trade.
See, I could see them trading up to get a Drake May who Drake May looks like a young Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. He's big. His talent seems almost virtually borderline limitless. I could see them trading up to get him because I think he right away can be developed. If they want to let him sit behind Sam Darnold for a few games and then put him out there, I could see it happening.
We know Chicago's taking Caleb Williams. There's no sense even getting past that. Is Washington possibly open to trading that pick for someone like Minnesota that maybe loves Jaden Daniels? Does Washington work something out where they're happy to take 11, 23, and whatnot, knowing full well that possibly at 11, J.J. McCarthy's there? Michael Penix Jr. is going to be there. Bo Nix will be there and gain a lot of draft capital from the two pick. Or does Washington absolutely take a quarterback at two?
I think they almost have to take a quarterback at two. I don't think they can afford to move back. Not with this fan base
clamoring for somebody.
Well, and you're trying to get the stink of Dan Snyder off your team.
True.
To me, if you're the owner there, you can't afford to have the fan base looking at you like, why didn't you get a quarterback?
Phil makes a great point. One of the few teams in the league, I would say, without a face.
That's
right?
True.
I mean, we can almost look at
probably 85% of the teams in this league, and there's a face to each team. Now, it used to be Derrick Henry for the Titans. Washington, yeah, there's no one. And now Chase Young was probably their most heralded star, at least on the defensive side, before that trade. Yeah. They're almost like the no-name team over there.
Well, so for a while, they didn't have a name.
In many ways. But I think Phil's right. They probably look at this as an opportunity to go, look, we need a face to put up on that billboard to put fannies in the seats. Either it's Drake May or it's Jaden Daniels, but we need something here.
And say this current ownership had been there for 5 years. I don't think at this point then, even same results, same players, everything, I don't feel like they would feel like they have to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think they're so desperate to get rid of the stink of Dan Snyder from the Washington name that they need something to draw that attention.
And I completely agree with Phil on this. I think they have to take a quarterback after all the free agents
inside. So what you guys are putting on paper then is that we feel, obviously, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, we felt, will be gone. Minnesota, to get Drake May, has to trade up.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, like I said, we don't know. Maybe they're in love with J.J. McCarthy. Maybe they're sitting there saying, we're very happy. We want J.J. McCarthy, and we can keep him at 11. Yeah. Right. And we can use the 23 pick to get a weapon or whatever else we need. Not that they need weapons, but maybe they just sit and wait.
I still think the Vikings trade up. Even if McCarthy is what they want, is the one they want to target.
You still think they get worried and get up to get him.
I think they still feel like, okay, we need to move up just in case. Because to me, kind of the wild card in there is the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? They may have decided that they want to move on one way or another from
Kyler Murray. That was my next question. More likely, less likely, not going to happen. Kyler Murray gets traded on draft night.
I don't see it. I don't see a market for him. I don't see a team that's going to trade for him with his contract situation. I just don't see it. I don't think there's much of a market for a 5'6", 5'8 quarterback. I just don't.
I think the only possible way I see is if the Cardinals are giving up him and draft picks.
Right.
And saying, okay, we're on the hook for part of the contract.
But why would you do that? I mean, I just don't.
To go take another quarterback.
If you're that decided on, this is not our guy, we need to get somebody, you do everything you have to get rid of him.
And here's my only thing. Let's see how Kyler Murray is with the new coach. I mean, got a new coach there. He seemed to play pretty good on the back end of the last season. I want to see 1 year of this.
I'm not saying they are done with him, but I wouldn't be surprised. But I think what it's going to take to happen is
beyond
almost insurmountable.
Yeah, that's where I also come from with that too. I think there's a few locks, and they're one of the locks to either get traded with and trade back, because I think even if they trade back, they'll still get an elite receiver, which is what Kyler Murray needs.
I don't know. I mean, I know that fan base isn't in love with Kyler Murray. That's one thing. We mentioned Washington and their fan base. I feel like Arizona's that same way. They just desperately need someone to latch onto. They thought it was Murray. Maybe it still is, but it doesn't seem like it. No. It just doesn't seem like it.
And to add to that Minnesota point you made earlier about with Minnesota and J.J. McCarthy, they've already had a J.J. McCarthy quarterback there for a long time. I just don't see them going back to that after you let that guy walk out of the building. I think if they trade up to get a quarterback, it's going to be somebody who has a lot of talent.
As opposed to?
Just a...
Who was their quarterback?
Well, Kirk Cousins.
He's had a lot of talent.
Yeah, but he's more of a viewed as a game manager who makes plays, and I think who J.J. McCarthy is. He's a game manager who makes plays.
I mean, their coach wanted him back. He didn't want to lose him.
I got you.
Highest paid quarterback in the history of the league.
I don't. That baffles me to this day.
And he wasn't even drafted first by his own team.
He was drafted fourth.
That's right. The Redskins took RG3 that year.
That was still the craziest
Kirk
year
Cousins
that they
was
were
just a
that they drafted
pick.
Both of them.
Yeah,
but
very odd.
You know what that is? Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for that team when they drafted Kirk Cousins, and Kyle Shanahan's been quoted saying, "Hey, this guy's better than RG3. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, with the knee injuries for RG3,
it worked out.
It ended up being a better choice for them. Mm-hmm. Of course, they never could get him a long-term deal signed with him.
But, that was the stench of the Dan Snyder regime.
Yeah, it didn't help. All right, so there you go. That's our mock and our possibilities. Any other things, guys, on the draft that you think may happen, could happen, you don't think will happen?
Oddly enough, I could see the Jets trading up to get a receiver if they want to. I could see that.
Well, they're at 10.
I could see them trading up two or three spots to get a receiver if one of the big three is potentially off the board and they want him.
I'll tell you, the Titans are in a great spot here if Alt is gone like Phil had. If Alt is gone, say, who do you have, San Diego taking him?
Yep.
Okay. If that does happen, I think we've all agreed that the other offensive tackles are almost, I don't want to say all exactly the same, but there's a lot of parallels there.
Yeah. I think Alt is slightly better, and then that 2, 3, 4, 5. You could pretty much put those four in any order.
Right. So if the Titans see that Alt has been taken off the board, I think I think their phone is open and they say to teams like the Jets, yeah, let's talk. You've got 10. We've got 7. And we'll work from there because we know at 10 there's still going to be one of those offensive tackles. Mm-hmm. And maybe we gain a second round pick this year and whatnot.
Do you think any chance the Titans trade up to get Alt?
Excuse me.
The only way I see that happening is if, now that you mentioned it, to piggyback off what you said, I don't see it.
I mean, I think they're worried about San Diego, I think they are worried.
I don't think they'll trade up to get Alt from San Diego because I think a lot of the offensive tackles, there's a razor thin line, like you said, separating
Alt. After Alt, I think there is a razor thin line. I think Alt is the best.
When you got the best offensive line coach almost in the history of the league, I think they could get an offensive lineman who's not as good as Alt and make him as good as what an Alt would be.
I'm certain Bill Callahan has his board and he's saying, look, it's probably not the end of the world if we don't get Alt. Let's not mortgage the future to move up two spots. To play a game with Jim Harbaugh where he's going to act like I'm taking a tackle. Hey, they have no receivers.
No.
If they do take a tackle, like Phil said, it's not that it's bad, but who's catching the darn ball over there?
That receiver they took in the first round last year.
Again, who? They've got one of the elite quarterbacks.
But if he's elite, he can make
them. He's got to have some weapons. How do you pass up? We know Harrison won't be there, but if you're at 5... how are you passing up more than likely Adunze and Neighbors, maybe? Or one of the two is going to be there.
Well, I mean,
how do you pass that up?
In my draft, I had Marvin Harrison Jr. there.
Okay, so how do you pass that
up? You
don't,
and that's... Yeah. But I don't know. Listen, I love Jim Harbaugh, but he would be the coach arrogant enough to probably say no and take an offensive tackle. I just think that's who he is. I mean, he never does anything conventional. Yeah.
But to me, what helps Jim Harbaugh being a new coach back in the league is having his elite quarterback, having an elite receiver right out of the gate.
And here's my other gripe with them taking a tackle. They already have an elite offensive tackle. Why would you want to draft?
And again, it could be smoke and mirrors. That's what happens around draft time. Everybody wants the other team to think, that's what we're taking, your guy, and you want to move up, we'll work out a deal.
Yeah, and they have no tight ends either, by the way. Everett is on the Chicago
I don't know if
Bears.
You want to overdraft Bowers, though, that high.
No, absolutely. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's nobody for Justin Herbert to throw the ball to there.
That's what I
legitimately.
Mean.
Legitimately, yeah. Because Everett, their tight end, is on the Bears right now, and I'm going, wow. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at 5, I don't see them passing that one up. I think they'll take that one, and that's a done deal.
Oh, listen, if he's anywhere from 3 forward, I think any team, especially starting with the Cardinals, I mean, that's got to be your first thought.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go. Another mock in the books. Right.
Yeah. So next week we'll take a look back and
how bad this
see
was.
How we did and laugh at some of our choices.
I think you and I are going to be laughing together, Phil, because I don't know. What did we have, about 11 or 12 picks?
Had exact team and everything like that. So that's pretty good.
Well, he had Drake May going third. I also did too, but he had him going to the Patriots. I had him
before I finish the show, did everyone here have all of those quarterbacks gone? I know I did. Did you, Phil?
Bo Nix is the only one I didn't have.
You have Nix still there going to round two. Did you still have a quarterback out there?
I had Penix still out there.
Still out there. I have them all gone.
See, I just feel like Penix would be the one if he falls out. It's the age and the injuries are what's probably going to scare people and be like, you know what? He's had two surgically repaired knees. The only team I could see in the first round taking him, and you've already told me it's pie in the sky, but I could see this happening if, for some reason, I know Mike McDaniel says he wants to pay Tua, that's his guy.
Oh, no, it's not that it can't happen. I could see Miami saying this is a guy that, because of Tua's injuries, can walk in, because of his age, and just step in here.
And I could see that if Tua falls off this year, which is a distinct possibility, then they've got their quarterback ready and they can let Tua walk in free agency.
So I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets take a quarterback.
I could see it.
To start getting now,
not
ready
at
behind.
10, I just can't imagine.
I know, I could see them 10. Trading back. Yeah. If they think Nix or Penix is going to be available late in the round, I could see them trading back saying, hey, wait a minute.
It's going to be a
not
lot
the
of,
high pick.
A lot
we
of pushback
can have
from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
though.
I don't see Aaron Rodgers going for that.
How many?
I know.
Realistically, how many years?
Not many.
Does Aaron Rodgers think he's going to continue playing?
I don't know, but Aaron Rodgers has held that organization hostage. I mean, look at some of the. I mean, look at the players he's brought into that team, and how much almost none of them have contributed to that team. But he wanted those players. He wanted that coach. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I could. The only one I think he would accept would be a Penix in the second round.
The more I look at the teams, I know Phil says he has one still left. I think they're all going to go. I feel that when you get back to that back end of the first round, teams, much like the Titans last year, who said, we really want this Will Levis guy. But the Titans were willing to hold for pick one of draft day two. There are some teams out there that might not want to take that chance, and maybe a Penix, or in your case, Bo Nix is still there.
Might
trade up from, now they've already made their pick, and now they want to go, hey, you know what? This guy might work out in 2 years, or in a year, or as a great absolute backup. He's old enough. He's got a. I see they all go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be completely surprised, but we will see. We'll see what happens tomorrow night with the draft. And then we'll meet again next week, catch up on what's been going on in the NFL or
in
the
NBA
and NHL
and
playoffs.
NHL, that's right.
And a lot more next week. This has been the Triple Play Sports Pub.